All right. Welcome to Freethinker Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston. This is Derek with Mike and Johnny here for Freethinker Radio. What's going on, guys?
Another wonderful week, man. Got some good music we're going to get into. Having fun. Loving being on KPFT, reminding everybody it is a listener-supported radio, and glad to have the opportunity to hang out with you guys and talk about the news again. So,
what's you going on, Johnny?
Just chilling, bro. Having another another week, man. I haven't really been paying much attention to the news, to be honest. I've been hearing COVID cases are down, so I know that's a good sign. And
that's supposed to be good news, right?
Yeah, hopefully we're going to get into some of that kind of stuff, talking about how negative the news has been lately. If you've been feeling like the news has been negative, you might be vindicated with some studies we just found.
Absolutely. We're going to cover that and a lot more tonight here on Freethinker Radio. We're with you guys for the next hour. If you go to thehoustonfreethinkers.com, you can find out more about our show. You can find the archive, and including you'll be able to find all of the links that we're going to cover for all the stories tonight if you want to look into them yourself, which we highly encourage. And of course, we broadcast every week on 90.1 KPFT Houston at kpft.org. You can always find us there. And if you want to support KPFT to keep commercial-free, community, corporate-free radio on the air for another 50 years, then visit kpft.org and you can donate in a number of different ways, including PayPal and lots of things like that. So, yeah,
what's going on in Houston? I'm glad they cleaned up that website. Look how nice it looks.
Yeah, the KPFT website, I think, has taken a step up. I think it looks a little more, dare we say, modern.
I think it's time to bookmark it if you haven't already.
Yeah.
So we're thankful for that. Houston, I kind of wanted to talk about them because I feel like there's more, you know, Johnny said, you know, the cases are on the decline. And he saw that as positive news. And I think I've just see that there's so many more things going on that people must just be getting out there. I mean, I see some people, you know, they still got the fear or whatever you want to say. But, you know, got to do what you got to do. Got to be prudent. But, yeah, I wanted to mention a few things with that in mind. There's a show at Red Dwarf on McGowan over there at 1011 McGowan. Live music Friday night, Patrick Squire and Sons of Gray. I think that Sons of Gray has some members of acts that have been around Houston for a little while now. I saw this other thing. I never even heard of a pet theater. Didn't know what it was. But there's a multi-instrumentalist there playing for free 6 p.m. Saturday. So that's something to get into. I looked at where it was, and it's just off of 45 inside the loop. So near the north end. So I thought that was kind of different. I saw they also have this Decamera Young Artist concert at the Moody Center. That's free. So there's all kinds of free stuff to get into. You know, that's fun. Move around, get into some different type of stuff. So that's at the Moody Center, 6100 Main. And I'll mention it for a minute because the Decamera Young Artist Program, what they're going to do is create original musical responses to some exhibitions that visual exhibitions of artists and the Rothko Chapel. And then there's going to be artwork on display. So you can walk through hearing the performances, and they'll be ambulatory, meaning you can walk, allowing them to look at the galleries and experience multiple music performances. So they're going to be some of it inside, some outside. Sounds like something different, right? You know, I saw over at the Manil that there's going to be a screening of a movie. I hadn't seen that before over there. Rossellini's Paisan, which was filmed in the aftermath of World War II, and basically kind of stresses how people have to communicate though from different cultures and live their everyday lives in extreme situations. And it'll take place on the front lawn Saturday. It's free from 8 till 10. So check out the Manil's website if you want more details on that. And I saw this this Barrels and Brushes over there on the east, what's it called? The East End backyard or something. I thought that was kind of interesting. It's going to feature 10 local artists, live DJs, and drink specials, but it's free to attend. So I guess they're just going to randomly have things available. So Barrels and Brushes, if you want to look for that. And one thing I did see that I couldn't find much on, but it looks like it's going to take place downtown, is Reggae in the Park. It had been delayed, and they were rescheduled for April, and there's posters and stuff out. So it looks like it's going to be Discovery Green on Saturday, another free event. So I know that's a lot of events, but we're in Houston. There's a lot of stuff going on all the time. And I know there's Garden Days over at House of J. Is that right, Johnny? Maybe you tell us a little bit about what goes on at a Garden Day at the House of J.
For sure, man. Yeah, every week we have Garden Days. You can usually come over anytime around 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock, early afternoon. And we're always doing different stuff out there, right? Right now we're trying to get some soil and build a few new beds to plant some peas in the front. We've been having a lot of people out last week. Some people brought some ducklings. That was pretty fun. Jeffers always cooking curry, so it's kind of an ever-changing event. You're never sure what you're going to be doing or what's going to be going on, but there's always cool people, good food, and a little bit of fun volunteer work to do.
No, that's awesome. We definitely want to keep highlighting that. And I want to just say again, because I know we have such a wide audience, I see that there's people that follow and listen to our show from as far as Australia, different parts of Texas, across the U.S. that even, you know, we spend the first few minutes talking about Houston because that's where we broadcast out of. KPFT is based in Houston. And we want you to see that there are events happening in the community. And maybe if you're in Houston, you can go check them out. But even if you're not, if one of these events sounds interesting or appealing to you, maybe you need to find one in your community or start one in your community. And as Micah was saying, just sort of the awareness that people are coming back out. People are going out. We're going to be covering some stories in just a bit about the numbers in Texas and, you know, what that all means for us. But I think it's a beautiful thing. I'm still, you know, I'm here in Mexico. I'll be home in Houston next month. And I'm just excited to hear that there's so much happening and people are choosing to come out and outside and get some sunlight and get some vitamin D, take care of their health and enjoy some human interaction. So that's good to hear, guys. I appreciate that. And yeah, definitely check out House of J. Should we dive into local news? I know we got some unfortunate local news filled with human trafficking and smuggling and things, Micah. Is that?
Yeah, let's get into it. We got a lot of ground to cover in this episode. We always do. And I'm sure you've already said that at the HoustonFreethinkers.com, we have all the archives of the stories that we cover. So people could do research and, you know, contest or develop their own ideas about what we talk about. But yeah, here in Houston, it turns out that just recently, I guess Wednesday of this week, HPD discovered over at Fulton and Cavalcade, what they call a stash house. I hadn't heard that phrase before. I was like, what's a stash house? And it's where they were holding people against their will. And what I kind of thought was interesting, well, they did get five people out of there and take two suspects. What I thought kind of a little aside on this was the responses of the community. And I think that that's maybe what you see with this. One person said it's too close to home. I didn't know that was going on around here. And then another individual said, I live right next door and I've never seen anything out of the ordinary. And I saw on another article about this. This is a individual who said that, you know, there's always something shady going on. So it was like mixed responses from people who are like, oh, it's tranquil. Who would have thought that happened? To people who are like, there's always something shady going on in Gotham. So I thought that was kind of, you know, it's another example of one of these things that's occurring. But, you know, otherwise in the Houston news, there was an inordinate amount of sex trafficking news. Turns out that a family was charged for coordinating sex trafficking in a an operation in a bar here. And it turns out that the operation went on from 2013 years. Like really? 13 years these people got away with it. Maria Botello and her two children, her nephew, and it's basically a family operation, you know? They were trafficking in adults, minors, and they said that people were paying $70 for 15 minutes with one of the victims. So, you know, it's horrible, but some people were just teenagers, you know, under 18, and in that story, and so this family, they're all being, you know, they're supposed to face some time and such. We'll see what happens there. But, you know, if we get into the next story, because I do want to move through this local stuff pretty fast, but it's nothing to take lightheartedly. It turns out that Crime Stoppers reported that following 549 Harris County human trafficking cases, 90% were not required to register as sex offenders, which I guess you know, you could look at that different ways with depending on how they use the people that they just captured and made their slave, more or less. You know, but it turns out that the study found that 67% of the defendants received sentences of 5 years or less community supervision. What do y'all think about that? I mean, I hate
for trafficking humans.
Yes,
I've heard of worse for drugs.
5 years or less, 67% of them, and 90% didn't have to register as sex offenders. So, you know, that's just here in the local Houston news. How does that? I mean, I imagine it's pretty bad near every major center. But yeah.
Well, Houston is known for, as we know, like we've covered this in the show, and I did an article a few years ago, an investigation for Mint Press News whenever the Super Bowl was coming to Houston, because that's like seen as like another big time where these things increase because, well, multiple reasons, but because all the big fancy people come to town. And the honest truth is that when those people come to town, they want prostitutes on the weekend when they're coming in town. Houston particularly, there's a time when the biggest oil conference, I can't remember the name at the moment, is also associated with the rise in prostitution in Houston, because you got a lot of these big suits flying in from town. And I guess when they're away from their wives, they want to get into some stuff. But often the people who are being trafficked, they might be presented as a prostitute who's there willingly while under, you know, some sort of force, or their lives or families have been threatened and things like that. So it's unfortunate to see that, like, yeah, like that doesn't surprise me, but you know, you sit here and say 67% of people receive sentences of 5 years or less, just like Johnny said. I mean, or community service, the fact that somebody could even be offered, and maybe there's a spectrum, right? But I mean, generally you hear human trafficking, it sounds like somebody took somebody, kidnapped somebody, held them against their will. I'm not sure they should be getting offered probation, you know, for that. Like, that just seems a little outrageous. And, you know, there's a stash house in North Houston for humans. Family trafficking people, sex trafficking for a decade. 5 victims in one house in North Houston. And then the Crime Stoppers report, all in like a week.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty crazy stuff, man. All right, guys. Well, let's continue. I know that, Mike, you got one other one here in Houston that's not related to sex trafficking, but yeah, to vaccines, which is another interesting topic.
You know, we bring up the word vaccine, and often the phones just start ringing. But this was a little different, so I just kind of thought it was worth mentioning. It turns out that there's some development that where they're trying to provide a different option for people looking for alternatives from the initial approved vaccines, and now they're seeking a plant-based vaccine. Just kind of,
well, I just want to interject real quick, Micah, that you're reading approved. The article, it says emergency use authorization, because I know we're going to get our listeners who are like, they're not approved, because they're right. Technically, it's only been granted emergency use authorization by the FDA, which is not the same as a full approval. That's all certainly. I want to say.
Yeah, we need to bring that up, because everybody acts like, you know, not, I shouldn't say everybody, but there's a subset of the population that acts like, you know, there's something irresponsible about going and taking this thing that's just barely approved that you have no recourse against into your body. Well, often these people will also speak up against people having rights for their body. So I don't know what to think about it, you know, get the vaccine, but say no, get the vaccine. But yeah, so it's kind of interesting. Turns out that one of the vaccine candidates is now in phase 3 of their testing, and another plant-based vaccine candidate is enrolling in phase 1. And compensation, they're actually paying people to join up and be their guinea pigs. So I don't know. I don't want to really get injected.
Free donuts for a year?
I don't want to get injected with your plants either.
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about that. You might not have been here, Johnny, but I know you saw it, that like Krispy Kreme was offering people free donuts for a year to get the vaccine. So, and I don't see how people, whether you like vaccines or not, can't see that, like, okay, offering people something that's sugary and not the best thing for their health for a year if they get this vaccine in the interest of public health. Like, that's America right there. And I think Micah said that plant-based one is kind of interesting. I want to look more up that, just because the science is kind of intriguing, right? But yeah, I also think it might be maybe a way to sort of try to appeal to a certain subset of people who are skeptical and like, oh, it's more holistic and healthy, it's natural, it's plant-based.
Plants, you know, in it. We put plants in your vaccine.
It's what plants crave. That's what it is. They crave plant-based vaccines.
It's naturally flavored with other natural flavors.
Flavored with other natural flavors.
Yes.
Well, let's go ahead. Let's get into something you mentioned earlier, Johnny. We started the show with talking about some of these events going on, and The fact that more and more people are coming out. We're in Houston, based in Texas. Texas, of course, a couple of weeks ago, Governor Abbott announces that he was ending the statewide mask mandate. Stores, of course, could still enforce it, but it would no longer be a state requirement. And that basically lockdowns have started to come to an end. Lots of people have been seeing those viral videos of the Texas stadium with the first Texas Rangers baseball game, and it was sold out, filled capacity of people hanging out in baseball, you know, probably upsetting and scaring some people. But so that's been going on now, right? And at the time, Greg Abbott was called Neanderthal thinking. That's what he was called, you know, said in the media about his decision to reopen the state. And here we are now a few weeks later. And as we're showing on screen for those who are watching, new COVID-19 cases plummeting in Texas is coming from Lubbock. Yay. Avalanche Journal, which this is good news, right? Texas reported
good news.
Far fewer COVID cases in the week ending on Sunday, adding, according to their numbers, 19,490. That's down 30% from the previous week's toll. Texas ranks 39th among the states where COVID was spreading the fastest on per person basis. And this is, again, if you're even from the Johns Hopkins University data, which we have said over the last years has been problematic and has been incorrect, you know, in a big ways in the past. But even if you take their numbers, Texas ranks 39th. And there's just cases are declining, falling all over the state. And we got another one from the Texas Tribune says, and I thought this was interesting, right? Because we've talked about the potential correlation between the PCR test and the number of cases that are being reported. Obviously, there's a connection there. But people said, including Donald Trump last year, and I know a lot of people didn't want to hear it from him, that if you stop testing, the numbers will go down. Well, this headline just makes an interesting connection. It says, as COVID cases decline across Texas, testing rates are also dropping. Experts say testing is still a crucial step as Texas continues to deal with the pandemic, but the public messaging has shifted away from testing and towards vaccinations. So it's interesting, though, and I'm sure for some people, their first response would be, well, of course, it's because we're getting vaccines now, so the cases are going down, even though there's still vast majority of people who haven't got the vaccines, despite the millions who have. So the tests are dropping, the cases are dropping across Texas, and then this last one to wrap it up, and then I want to hear you guys' thoughts is, Dr. Fauci was actually on TV the other day and was asked about this on CNN about why the cases in Texas were dropping. And we won't play the clip here, but I'll just read his quote from CNN. He said, quote, "It can be confusing because you may see a lag or a delay because often you have to wait a few weeks. There are a lot of things that can go into that. I'm not really sure. It could be because they're doing these things outdoors. You know, it's very difficult to just one-to-one compare. I hope they continue to tick down, but there's always the concern that when you pull back on methods, that you could see a delay, then cases tick back up. We've been fooled before with places opening up, then nothing happens, but all of a sudden, a few weeks later, cases explode on you." He concluded by saying, quote, "We have to be careful we don't prematurely judge." And some would say that's a well-reasoned response. I think it's sort of a dodge on the fact that, look, the narrative that we've been fed, guys, whether people like it or not, the narrative we've been fed hasn't been right in a lot of times. I mean, this is just another example where this guy, again, was called a Neanderthal thinking, and he was chastised all over the media. And I don't particularly like Greg Abbott or anything, but that was his decision he made, and things are coming out of lockdown, as we were talking about, shows happening, people going out to events and that, and we're not seeing an explosion of cases. We're not seeing people falling in the streets or hospitals overwhelmed and all these kinds of things. And the same thing goes for Florida and some other places. So the evidence is starting to show up.
Yeah, and do you know what's crazy? I think it's time to focus on mental health in America. After all this stuff, you know, I really think that people need to be doing stuff. And they need to get back to the regular normal, not the new normal, but the regular normal, you know, like what always has made them happy and like what they've tried to follow, the dreams they've always been trying to follow, you know?
We get to create our own normal, right? I think that's the big thing. And we are going to go to a music break in a couple minutes, Johnny, but I think this leads into the story that you wanted to pull up, because we're talking about, like you said in the beginning, like, hey, this is a good thing, right? And people who, as we're going to show in another story, people who are just trying to bring up some of the science that doesn't fit a particular narrative, are being censored, they're being chastised, but also the media is kind of ignoring those stories whenever there should be celebrations across the media that, hey guys, Texas cases have gone down, even if they don't 100% know what it is. Is it because of the vaccines? Is it because this or that? The point is, this should be something to celebrate and support, but instead the message is don't celebrate, it could get worse. Just be prepared. That might, you know, it's kind of this constant fear mode. And like you said, that definitely has affected people's mental health. And a big part of that is the way the media spins the narrative. Michael, you want to add anything to that before we jump in Johnny's?
No, I think what you said sums up most of the ideas on it, at least in the transition to this other story. I do think it's interesting that, I mean, I was just going to say that it's kind of nice that Fauci's more or less dumbfounded, you know? So yeah, he can quiet for a minute, maybe.
That too. All right. Johnny, tell us about this story we got pulled up.
Okay. Yeah. I just kind of heard this story in passing on the radio and I threw the article up. But basically it's discussing how the news media in the US and the UK have their coverage specifically of the COVID crisis or whatever you want to call it has been extremely negative, overwhelmingly negative, like 87%, I believe was the number. So someone was watching, who was it? It was this professor at Dartmouth College, economics professor, Bruce, sorry, I'm butchering his name right now, but his name is Bruce Sacerdote, thought so. He felt that news coverage, especially of the coronavirus pandemic, was often more negative than what scientists or data suggested. So they're saying, like many Americans at the beginning of the pandemic, people were stuck home watching the news more than normal. He found it depressing and discovered that his eyes were even more glued to the news than he realized. And, you know, something else I've thought about this was how much the news was dying before this COVID crisis. But now everyone's turning their TVs back on. So, I mean, really just ask yourself if you have a friend or a parent or, you know, somebody in your life who's been watching a whole lot of mainstream media or taking in a lot of mainstream media, they might be suffering from, you know, depression by this point. So I'm just going to read the abstract from the actual study that these guys put together. They looked at like 10,000 different articles and kind of analyzed it for positive and negative words and kind of added up the totals. So they said, we analyzed the tone of COVID-19 related English language news articles written since January 1st, 2020. 87% of stories by U.S. major media outlets are negative in tone versus 50% for non-U.S. major sources and 64% for scientific journals. The negativity of the U.S. major media is notable even in the areas with positive developments, including school reopenings, and vaccine trials. Media negativity is unresponsive to changing trends in new COVID-19 cases or the political leanings of the audience, as evidenced by most viewed and most shared major media readers in the US and UK strongly prefer negative stories about COVID-19 and negative stories in general. But the US major media is more willing to satisfy this demand for negativity in both COVID and pre-COVID years. We suggest that this is American exceptionalism stems from the lack of fair and balanced media laws and a lack of large public option in the U.S. media. The casual impacts of this negative COVID coverage are less obvious. Countries in the U.S. that rely more heavily on the major media are as likely to reopen schools as other similar countries. So, I mean, they're really just saying that it's been overwhelmingly negative and, you know, it's getting to people. I mean, I'm sure a lot of others are feeling the same way and it seems like other countries are covering it in a more balanced fashion. So we know that American media has a knack for, you know, stirring up fear, but you got to wonder what kind of policies would be able to be passed without that fear, without that negative coverage, what kind of, you know, direction we might be able to take as a people when we're not all worked up like that.
You're right. And they're always like that, right? We see like in Houston, for example, whenever there's a hurricane, they're talking about that thing for days and days and days before it gets here and then through it every minute. You know, if they're going to do that about all, and I'm sure up north they do it about the weather, and I'm not saying these things aren't dangerous and they shouldn't be mentioned. I mean, obviously they should be, but it's like this focus on them, you know, and sometimes they're trite and other times it's just all the news cycle has, you know. So I guess it tends to just regurgitate itself over and over and over and over pushing the same AM talking points through their various outlets to shape consciousness.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, I mean, Johnny, that's I'm glad you pulled up that story and found that. And I think that is one that you could just print up like a basic kind of summary of that and share that with friends and family. And like you said, talk to people of like, have you been watching too much news, which sounds offensive or silly to some people, but it really is like if you're consuming that stuff and there's clearly a bias, whether you're talking left, right or whatever, just obsessing over it 24 hours a day, except for when there's some other drama to focus on, then clearly those people are going to be living a perspective like that. I know that I haven't been living in. I've been living in Mexico, having the good time of my life. You know, I've been seeing friends and doing this and not living in fear, but aware of the news. But there are people in Houston, in the United States and around the world who have been locked down mentally, physically. And that's, as you said, is very much like detrimental to mental health.
I think people, I think the people are kind of really beating around the bush about the actual consequences of the lockdown and the negativity and the fear and all of that kind of stuff building up. Like, I don't know, like think about it, like with the hospitals, how they would cover the hospitals. Like, for example, like we just said, cases are going down right now, but you're still hearing about the narrative immediately shifts into a new variant. It could be back, you know, or it shifts into like what's going on. Like, you know, I just heard today on the news, like they're literally saying like, all of America, the cases are going down, but in Michigan, it's sky high. Like, and it's just like they're going to report it that way instead of saying like, now we just need to take care of Michigan. You know, I don't know. It's just so it's so obvious when you look at it from certain perspectives. And these guys clearly just put it in paper, really.
Yeah, and I think that's honestly why this show exists and other platforms like this exist, because people have for a long time, but definitely increasing with the internet, recognize that the media is full of propaganda. And, you know, unfortunately, in the Trump age, you know, things like fake news are seen as kind of like, oh, that's a right wing thing to say. But the reality is people on left and right across the board are unhappy with the media that's being put in front of them. You know, there's still more stories we're going to cover about vaccine passports and some other things. But the media is always playing a role in shaping people's perspective on these things in one way or another. We're going to go ahead and continue Freethinker Radio here. We got some more stories to cover. We are going to end with a song tonight at the end of the show. Johnny's got a new band to share with you guys. And we will take questions. You know, anybody who wants to, you know, those of you listening, everybody listening on KPFT, if you ever want to visit Freethinker Radio on Facebook, you can also look up the Conscious Resistance Network. You can post on those pages or message us with comments. We can read those on air, things like that. Feel free to comment, ask questions. We like to hear from everybody. I just want to share one real quick before we get into that Facebook hack, Micah. It kind of adds a little bit more onto what Johnny's talking about, in the sense that the media is obviously has an agenda, a bias, and you're talking about the fear angle. We're going to talk a little bit for a second about social media, and this one relates to a new opinion piece that was published by the Wall Street Journal's editorial board just on Thursday, April 8th. And it says, YouTube's assault on COVID accountability. The company scrubs a video of Florida Governor DeSantis' policy roundtable with physicians and scientists. And so it basically is saying that it's chilling that Google's YouTube, through its, quote, medical misinformation policy, appears to be systematically undermining the ability to access material in the public interest. And it gives a few examples. Last September, YouTube scrubbed a Hoover Institution interview with Dr. Scott Atlas, who was then one of Trump's coronavirus advisors. In January, it censored a U.S. Senate committee hearing. Get that, guys, like a U.S. Senate committee hearing. And I guess technically people would argue YouTube doesn't have to host that if they want to, even if it's the U.S. government. But they took it down because they didn't agree with it. And now it's taken down a video of Florida Governor Ron DeSantis holding a policy discussion with former Trump advisor, Dr. Scott Atlas, and three creators of the Great Barrington Declaration, which was a group of scientists and physicians who have been critical of the lockdowns over the last year. That, if you guys remember that, there was thousands of scientists signing on to the Great Barrington Declaration, and it was attacked in the media and defamed and basically, you know, did everything they could to make people think it wasn't legit. And so DeSantis, governor of Florida, holds a panel, a policy session for his state where he can get into some of this information. And the video was shared in a story from Tampa, Florida news station, and its removal from YouTube was flagged by another outlet. And YouTube said on Thursday that it, quote, removed the video because it included content that contradicts the consensus of local and global health authorities regarding the efficacy of masks. So because of that, YouTube censoring things like that, not just random people's opinions, which I still wouldn't say is good, but people might not have as much a big a deal about that. But this is governors, this is US Senate committees. So you have, I just wanted to point that out because you have the media, as we're talking about, totally focused on the negativity, focused on the, you know, the fear porn. And then you've got the people on, say, online or using YouTube and platforms like that, trying to spread information, but that's being censored. You're not allowed to hear from that because that contradicts with whoever, right? It's not a good situation as far as information consumption goes, especially when we're supposed to be living in the time where you should have access to the most information available ever in history.
Well, that's what happens when you start peeling on that like little thing, you know, you just like start saying, well, we'll just censor it a little bit and we'll just censor those guys over there. And here we are, man. Do we have any music? That would make me happy.
Should we take a music break?
Yes. We need a music
break. Okay, fine. Let's take a music break. It's been a little heavy. We're still going to cover the Facebook hack when we get back. We're going to talk about a restaurant in Vancouver standing up. And we're going to give you the latest.
Some of these comments.
We'll give you the latest on the vaccine passports and some more news that we cover. And yes, we will cover comments, Micah. Let's go into a song, though, first. So we hit a quick one. Come right back.
Quickie.
Let's do a quickie with Stupid Idiot. All right, you're listening to Freethinker Radio. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Everyone should be like me. Go. Everyone should be like me. 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 I think you should be like me. I think you should dress like me. I think you should act like me.
Woo! Welcome back to Freethink Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston. That was Stupid Idiot, Fascist Punk. Always a good one, Johnny. Thanks for performing that.
Fascist Punk.
All right, Micah, you want to jump into this Facebook hack? Facebook's hacked again? How many times have they been hacked now?
I think at least 3 million. I lost track. I mean, I think they lost track. I don't know, the Facebook hack track. Turns out that 533 million Facebook users' phone numbers and personal data have been leaked online. This is in the latest leak, not in total, just the latest one. And what is there, like 340 million Americans in total? So, yeah, almost twice this country in the total population. It includes their phone numbers, Facebook IDs, full names, locations, birth dates, bios, and in some cases, email addresses. Mm-hmm. This is not the first time that lots of Facebook users' phone numbers have been found exposed online. The vulnerability uncovered in 2019 allowed millions of phone numbers to be scraped from Facebook servers in violation of its terms of service. Facebook said that vulnerability was patched. And back in August, Facebook vowed to crack down on mass data scraping after Cambridge Analytica scraped over 80 million users of data in violation of their terms of service. So basically, you know, you better follow their terms of service or you're going to Facebook jail. Them, not so much. And I read one individual said, you know, it's basically the same as this is a massive breach of trust, you know, for a firm as reputable and with the resources of Facebook to actually permit this to happen, to not have things in place to prevent this from happening. I mean, between Cambridge Analytica, the 2019 hack, and this latest one, it's a massive breach of trust. Can you imagine if armored cars got flipped as often as your data's leaked? I mean, people would be suing Brinks. If the banks couldn't keep your money, if anybody let you down as much as these guys are letting you down, you know? So I don't know. What do you guys think about that? Facebook, whatever.
I mean, I just wonder if there's ever going to be any kind of accountability for it. Like in a very real way, like you said, I hate it because, right, like there's always the argument, well, like, oh, they're a private company, but we've discussed that. I don't think they're, you know, can truly be considered like a product of the freed market in some way because there is connections in their seed funding to the CIA's venture firm, Incutel, plus other tax breaks and things like that. But my point here is that it just seems like there won't be any recourse no matter what, because Facebook can kick you off whenever the heck they want, and they can do whatever they want with your data, and people just basically keep using it no matter what.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think it's not something I think we should take lightly. This show mentioned corporatism for its entire existence. And we've got to remember something, Derek, you know, these people, like you said, it's not a product of the free market. Just because people might have privately own an asset doesn't mean they got it justly and from their own work, right? I mean, they could privately own something and have their partner be the U.S. government that gave them special, you know, powers. So, yeah, I mean, private ownership is part of the fascist motto, along with, you know, the merger with the corporate. It's just not, you just in the end don't really own it.
I think that, Micah, you make a good point there. I'm glad you mentioned that, just because, you know, we've talked about it and been covering it since last June when it was first announced, and we will continue to talk about the Great Reset World Economic Forum agenda. You know, the World Economic Forum describes themselves as the International Organization for Public-Private Partnerships. Like, they consider themselves to be the organization. And like you said, when you talk about that public-private partnership, in its worst form is fascism. I mean, that is just the merger of the government. But it's being promoted around by NGOs and nonprofits as this new sustainable model through the public-private partnership model. We'll bring together the governments and the best in the private sector. And it's not what people believe it is.
The the problem is when there's nothing outside the state, right? I mean, that's what Mussolini leads it to, right? All within the state and nothing outside the state. So, and it's not really even the state. It's the collective of society, the mentality, the mind of the, you know, the hive mind, that your individuality is second, you know, the fatherland is first, you know, the security of everything else, the altruism is the devout moral code of such a thing, right? But anyway,
let's jump in, Mike. I got one before we get to the big vaccine passport conversation, which I definitely want us to have kind of a few minutes for a little roundtable between the three of us, and anybody listening, pose your questions and thoughts. Just the vaccine passports is becoming so huge. But first, you got this one about a health inspector being kicked out of a restaurant in Canada.
Oh, what is this about? Already. Yeah, thank you. I'm so glad to move on past Face World. Oh, I kind of thought this one is a little bit older. It was from, late last month, early this month. But it turns out that there's a owner of a Vancouver restaurant I think it's called the Corduroy Shack or something like that. It's Corduroy something. But anyway, it turns out the owner is vowing to continue defying the province's health order banning indoor dining for 3 weeks. I guess they say they've got a little spike going on. Despite being served with an individual order to close. And this is what we talk about. What do you do? When do you stand, right? So I kind of thought this was interesting. And the person didn't stand alone. And sometimes that's what we have to do. When we see someone being beat down or some injustice, we have to stand. Sometimes we have to say something and not just be complicit. You know, a lot of people don't agree with what's going on, but they just stay quiet. And that's sort of, you know, is out of sight, out of mind. And a lot of people don't know anyone else feels like them. Turns out there was a video of this when turns out the health inspector and a liquor inspector or whatever went to deal with the restaurant being, you know, open. In the video, the owner, Matthews, who's, I guess, a mother, she's unmasked, has an infant strapped to her chest, tells the inspector she does not recognize their jurisdiction. All right. And says that they are trespassing diners at the packed restaurant, then join in to a chant of get out, get out. And this actually gets pretty loud. And the health officials end up leaving as the crowd cheers. It turns out in British Columbia, the COVID-19 Health Orders and their Related Measures Act, a business can be fined up to $2,300 and individuals can be fined $575 for infractions related to non-compliant social gatherings. Turns out there's also another fine for belligerent behavior related to enforcement of a COVID-19 order. One interesting thing about the Corduroy restaurant there, Miss Matthews restaurant, is they ended up closing because they ran out of food. They sold all the food they had, and now they're trying to get more. So she stayed open, and then they've recently closed for lack of supply. So I don't know. I thought that was something interesting. And as always, it stands to, you know, standing up and when do you do this? Everybody's got a different line. Everybody's got a different thing that they feel incensed by. It says right there, no trespass. And I think she says something about, you know, particular individuals not being allowed, but I'm not sure. But
yeah, I think that one's a cool one, Micah. And again, there's going to be some people in the audience who are going to not like that at all. And you're like, oh, what a bunch of Neanderthal thinking, right? But I think it's a great example of disobedience, civil disobedience, of non-participation. Dude, and like you said,
the asymptomatic transfer, I just don't think that we're seeing the numbers to make that a good argument.
In that restaurant, by God, that's not unfriendly.
That's
enough.
That's what I'm saying, though. I've seen shows and I know that people would have been excited if there was like a huge spread event. You know, whenever people were posting shows, there's these like sick human beings who are just like, oh, I can't wait for them all to get COVID and drop dead in 2 weeks. Well, guess what? Not a lot of people got COVID and dropped dead. Like, I'm pretty sure almost none of the people got COVID and dropped dead. You know, we didn't hear about any cases of that happening.
I was definitely wished ill that, you know, for being out without, I guess, somebody's version of how I should be outdoors saying, oh, well, you know, I'm going to check back in 6 weeks and see if you're dead, you know. But
I mean, where's the video that said, like, I shouldn't have gone to that country bar because I'm about to die?
I just don't
know. Where are those people at, you know?
I want to add one other thing to what Johnny said, Micah, and then I'll pass it back to you, is just the point you made about asymptomatic spread, Johnny. It's not only that we haven't seen it, it's that the studies have shown that, and that the World Health Organization itself last year said that asymptomatic spreaders were not the major cause of COVID spreading. But that's, again, like you could go back to the media spreading fear, right, and not reporting the positive. That's not what we've heard. So that is what continues to be pushed out there.
It gets very confusing, I guess, but that warms my heart to see. I love it when a community stands up, you know, like for small business owners like that.
No doubt. That's about all I had on that story. But one thing y'all were talking about that I wanted to speak to there for a moment was, can you imagine being so passionate about some saving lives that you wish that you spend your mental energy and all that psychic energy wishing ill onto those who don't care about saving lives in the same manner as you? They don't see a little conflict with that, I guess, but whatever.
Yeah, plenty of hypocrisy to go around. Well, guys, we got about 15 minutes left here on Freethinker Radio, and I've got a blitz of headlines that are just they're all related to the same topic, and that is vaccine passports, which, again, like, this seems to be the issue of our time, definitely becoming a political issue. I guess that it'd become a election issue, those who are supporting it and those who are against it. So let me just blitz through a few headlines that happened this week. And then we can have a discussion about it. And again, anybody who's listening right now, we want to hear your thoughts, comments, feel free to share however you can. Earlier this week, just a couple of days ago, Fauci said the federal government won't require COVID vaccine passports. He said, quote, I doubt that the federal government will be the main mover of a vaccine passport concept. They may be involved in making sure things are done fairly and equitably, but I doubt it's going to be the leading element of that. And he goes on to say, I'm not saying they should or that they would, but I'm saying you could foresee how an independent entity, now he's saying that it might not come from the government, but it might be required by schools and businesses. He said, so I could foresee how an independent entity might say, quote, well, we can't be dealing with you unless we know you're vaccinated, but it's not going to be mandated from the federal government. At the same time as Fauci is saying that, the European Union, last month we reported, and now they're getting closer towards their vaccine passport proposal. So Fauci saying the White House not get involved, the European Union moving forward. And then the White House just on Thursday confirmed saying that they will not be involved in the vaccine passports. The government is not now, nor will we be supporting a system that requires Americans to carry a credential, said White House press secretary. This is Biden's press secretary, says there will be no federal vaccinations database and no federal mandate requiring everyone to obtain a single vaccination card. But the caveat here is, of course, that the feds are working with the private sector. Again, there's that word again, Micah, whether they're really private or not. It's this public-private partnership, right, between the government and these corporations, IBM, Microsoft, the Common Pass from the World Economic Forum and others, to develop the vaccine passport. So we'll see if they even keep their word. But at the moment, it might not come through the government like it's coming in Europe, but it might be a more American style, you know, public partner, public private fascism version where the corporations enforce it. And then just breaking just Thursday, we had a new introduction of a bill from House Freedom Caucus Chairman Andy Biggs of Arizona saying that he was going to introduce a bill that would bar federal government agencies from issuing or requiring vaccine passports. And it's called the No Vaccine Passports Act that would stipulate that agencies could not issue standardized documentation showing an individual has gotten a COVID-19 vaccine, nor could they require proof of a COVID vaccine to access federal grounds. And the representative said, vaccine passports will not help our nation recover from COVID. Instead, they will simply impose more Big Brother surveillance on our society. And of course, this comes after Florida Governor Ron DeSantis put an executive order to ban vaccine passports, the same thing in Nebraska. And then finally in Texas this week, Governor Abbott, Neanderthal thinking, he not only banned the mask or ended the mask mandate, but now he's issuing an executive order that also does a similar thing, saying that the state government, the authorities can't issue passports. But again, that won't stop private institutions from doing it. And then that leads me, I just want to share this, a tweet from Naomi Wolf, former Clinton advisor, who definitely is not a right winger, somebody who considers herself progressive. She said this on Thursday, I'm horrified to tell you all the seven state legislators who are showcasing their five freedom bills are Republicans. And she's talking about the bills standing against vaccine passports. She said, I'm happy for them. I'm horrified for my own party. Democrats, please join this campaign. And she was saying this in response to a tweet to her saying, why is it that only Republican states are doing this? I hope some blue states will do the same. And so I just think that's interesting, you know, because she's acknowledging that, hey, I'm a Democrat, my own party, in her words, and they're just being silent on this issue. And so we got all that vaccine passport stuff. And then this one, and then I'll wrap it up here. Just today, the European Rights Court, or just this week, the European Court of Human Rights said that mandatory vaccinations are necessary in democratic societies, if you can believe that. And this court has delivered a judgment, the first time they've delivered a judgment about mandatory vaccination against childhood diseases. This came after a complaint by Czech families about mandatory vaccines for children. And the court ruled, quote, the measures could be regarded as being necessary in a democratic society, saying that Czech health policy was consistent with the best interests of the children. Quote, the objective has to be that every child is protected against serious diseases through vaccination or by virtue of herd immunity. So, you know, we'll see. I'm sure there's going to be some appeals, and I don't know really even how much, I don't know how much power the European Court of Human Rights has, or if that's more of sort of a ornament or something. But just the fact that they say that a democratic society requires mandatory vaccinations. And, you know, in case you're wondering why some people are concerned about vaccines, the most recent thing is the AstraZeneca vaccine, which has been rejected by parts of Europe. It's being shipped out of the U.S. to places like Mexico. And now regulators are finally acknowledging that there is a risk for certain people to get deadly blood clots that could kill them. They said it's a small number of people, but in their eyes, it outweighs the benefits. The benefits outweigh the risk. So, you know, they're admitting there's things wrong with it, but still we're being told it's for our own good. And I don't know, what do you guys think about all that? I mean, the vaccine passport thing is just like right here in our face now. Whether it's public, private, does it make a difference, Micah? Johnny, does it make a difference to you guys?
Well, I think that if, of course, anybody would say that who's not a member of the family of someone who's passed away from it, or anybody who would do that. I mean, that's just kind of a dumb analogy. It's really insensitive. And like, I mean,
you mean
just
to say like, oh, it's the benefits are still worth it.
Yeah, because like, I mean, that's just assuming on a whole. I mean, that's really like groupthink. That's really, in my opinion, like every individual should be assessing whether or not this medicine is correct for them. And, you know, if anybody wants, you know, if you want to take the vaccine, take the vaccine. Like, I'm not going to stop you from putting a, you know, I'm not going to stop you, just like I wouldn't stop you from, you know, pretty much injecting anything else into your arm. You know, I'm just saying, like, yeah, that's all I got.
What do you think, Micah?
Papers, please. You know, that's what I think. I think, like, look how much just tracking people allows you to do by just just getting a state ID alone, much less a vaccine ID, you know? And I think about the whole move towards, you know, how do you put this? The vast amount of data, of biological data that can be accessed and then kept, you know, and the growth of what a vaccine passport could be from, you know, something simple that just, you know, if you go to another country, maybe, you know, they might have different rules. So you want to have to prove you're vaccinated if you're of that mindset, to the point where eventually, you know, you can't, you know, other than maybe ordering online and having your box dropped off in a sealed off cubicle outside, on, you know, to this far other extreme, you can't buy or sell or go anywhere without it. So, you know, I don't know. I think that in the beginning that all these IDs and all these tracking systems were quiet, you know, it's just a way to do this, you know, and getting electricity in your home was just a personal choice. And now I'm sure if you don't have electricity, CPS would take your kids away. And most people would say, yeah, they didn't even have electricity in there, you know? So I think that things change. And I think that just like those, and I bring it up a few times, just like those terror alerts, we had all these different levels. I think that that's what we're going to have. We're going to have this bio fear thing going on in different, with every new stripe. I mean, maybe we won't, and I hope we don't. But I've never seen them put their foot in a door and not continue to try to pry it open more. I mean, I don't know why. I think it's just maybe some of it's the money, some of it's the power, the control, and maybe, you know, the rest of it's just power more than money. I think of all the information that you can have and all these people turning to you for the answer. I mean, that's probably pretty strong aphrodisiac type thing. I mean,
yeah, you're right that it's difficult to imagine the government, particularly the U.S. government, not trying to take this as far as it can. And I think that's why people like us on Freethinker Radio, who've been shouting about this since the beginning, saying like, hey, let's maybe be cautious about where this is headed. And like you said, Micah, this is the biosecurity state. This is the evolvement of the terror state post 9/11 state. Now it's biosecurity, where you could have, you know, microbes and pathogens on you. And because of that, we got to lock everything down and we need to quarantine you. We need to make sure we have a passport that determines where you go. And that's got to be scanned every day or tested every day.
And what you're talking about is us having to basically, you say that like, okay, the state says what you just said. And basically what do you have to do in the face of that? Except, what is he going to do? There's a pathogen you can't see that they're telling you from pointing a little plastic thing at you. You have it or something, you know? I don't know. You know, so
yeah,
I mean, it makes a difference if it's public or, I mean, if it's the government or private. Only insofar as I cannot ever go anywhere fun. I can just eat, you know, crappy food and live in a cave. If it's not government, the minute it's government, it's going to be a boot on my neck making me take it.
Yeah. I mean, but I think we also probably would both agree though, that tyranny can come in a private form, public, private form or not. Like we might have more choices to say like, yeah, well, I'm going to stay away from that place and avoid that thing than we do when it comes to the government. Cause the government's going to impose their will on you to a large degree, one way or the other. But I think it definitely doesn't bode well for the future of the world or for freedom or, you know, any of those kinds of things.
Yeah, I think having the foresight is what's really important here because, you know, a lot of people are really nearsighted when they think about these kinds of situations unfolding, you know, just like we were when, you know, just like so many people were with the Patriot Act. And now it's coming around with the domestic terrorism and they can, you know, they have well within their own rights, according to them, you know, they can, you know, collect information and, you know, detain people based off of something that happened 10 years ago and was written into law that we saw could potentially go there. Well, now we're seeing that we could have a government mandating a certain medication, and the way they're doing this new thing, they're calling it a platform. So it's supposed to be updated, like your phone, like you're going to be updated. So if there's a new variation or there's new something. So now we're in a situation where we could be 10, 20, 30 years down the road. And who's going to be in cahoots with the vaccine companies? Who's going to be in cahoots? Like, are they going to want this to go away? are they always going to be wanting to, you know, have our best interests at heart? And like, you can look at Pfizer's, you know, criminal record on this, and I think it speaks for itself. And it's just kind of disturbing that a lot of people aren't seeing the problem with like their, you know, awesome, not Trump guy in power now. But like, I mean, you know, you really don't know how bad it's going to get in later on, and like how much further the government could go with this private public partnership. If that becomes a vaccine private partner, a private public partnership, that could be very dangerous, you know? So
yeah, we'll just see, Johnny, what happens. You make a point about, you know, the fact that they've called the, as you mentioned, the vaccine a platform, right? Because just like when we've heard with social media and with Facebook, right? Like if you're using something for free, it's because you are the product, right? Well, you went from being the product to now you're going to be the device that needs to be updated periodically with a new injection, you know, as part of your health, COVID-19 health platform, or, you know, however they want to spin it.
You are the consumable.
You are the device, right? You're the battery. That's what they're working on.
And the worst part is we just sound so crazy right now to a lot of people. And all our radio listeners, I'm sorry, you guys, if we sound crazy. But, I mean, really try to imagine a future world with a president who just doesn't have your best interests at heart, and companies that have recently made billions of dollars and then passed it on to their rich son who doesn't care about you. You know, who knows what's going to happen? I'm just saying.
Yeah, you really don't have to imagine.
You give it away. You give it away.
Try that hard to imagine a president that doesn't care about.
Yeah, you give it away, you might not get it back. Is all I'm saying.
I can't imagine a president that really does care about you.
Yeah, I agree with that. We're about out of time, Johnny, and I know you wanted to play your song, so we should probably just jump into that. But yeah, we thank everybody who listens to us every week. We do this once a week on Friday afternoons on 90.1 KPFT in Houston. If you are listening to this after the fact in an archive, and you know somebody in Houston, tell them to listen. You know, tell them, go turn their radio dial to 90.1. Tell them to look up kpft.org, look up the houstonfreethinkers.com.
And your support means the world to us at kpft.org. They've given us a home for, I guess, years now. It is community funded. And there are some voices that sometimes, you know, we get contributions, but there's some voices that sometimes say, they're talking about things that are scary. They're dangerous guys. So if you support us, you support these ideas being on the FM airwaves, please step it up a little bit for KPFT. It's not just us, but a bunch of other radio shows, but mention Freethinker Radio when you make that love gift.
Definitely. Let them know that you like Freethinker Radio before we get canceled. All right, Johnny, what's this song about?
I know the band's called From Parts Unknown. This is a pretty new song. Hang on 2 seconds. It's called Lucifer, You've Got Some Splainin' to Do. And it's got a super...
San Antonio?
These guys are from San Antonio. The lead singer's name is Ben, and he's like a super cool guy. So, he really shreds. So here's some Texas punk.
All right, guys. Till next time, this has been Freethinker Radio. Peace.